Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. QT and Sangai with you like usual. Real quick, some show notes before we jump into things. If you're looking for some wrestling, tonight you have WCWO as usual at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis. 3-2-1 battle right here in our neck of the woods in Seattle. Rocky Mountain Pro in Denver, Colorado. WTF in Carmel, Indiana. Supreme Wrestling in Seymour, Indiana. NEW in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, featuring Dylan Bosick in a return against Ryback. And F2F Wrestling in Morrow, Georgia. Tomorrow night, NGW making its return. They'll be in Tacoma, Washington tomorrow. LCW in Lake Forest, North Carolina. CCW in Coral Springs, Florida. LPW in Santa Cruz, California. WVCW in Bluefield, West Virginia. PWX Pro Wrestling in Charlotte, North Carolina. NWL in Inwood, West Virginia. And Wrestle Club in Boise, Idaho tomorrow. And without further ado, and speaking of Wrestle Club, I would like to welcome our guest today. She is the voice of Wrestle Club, the ring announcer, May Lee. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Our pleasure to have you on here. And since today happens to be your first time with us, we're going to fire things off with the first-timer's question. What led to you getting into this business of professional wrestling?
Well, my husband is actually a professional wrestler for the Wrestle Club. And, you know, I that first supported him by just going to the shows and taking pictures. And then that was back when I used to work the weekends, so it made it hard for me to really contribute. And so I found a different job where I did the normal cubicle work from Monday to Friday, and with shows mostly being on the weekends, I was able to contribute more. And, you know, the owner of the Wrestle Club stated they didn't have a consistent ring announcer, and I thought, well, you know, I sometimes like being the center of attention every now and again, so I figured, you know, I'll try being the ring announcer. And so during the Mother's Day event, they, you know, brought me on as the announcer. They liked me enough, and here I am, you know, a year later, still announcing.
In the year's time that you've been ring announcing, Wrestle Club has done what very few independent wrestling companies have been able to do. They secured broadcast television. They air every week there in Idaho on a broadcast station. What has it been like not only working for a growing, thriving independent wrestling company, but one that has broadcast television all over that state?
I feel like it's a great honor to help support such a wonderful opportunity. I mean, especially here in Idaho, media broadcasting is something to desire for, unfortunately. So, you know, when most people think, you know, I want to be an actor, you don't think Idaho. And so the fact that we have that opportunity to meet with the broadcasting people and, you know, pitch her promotion out there, and apparently it's a very popular show for the channel it's on. Just to let you guys know, if you are ever in Idaho and you want to flip your TV channel to us at Wrestle Club, we normally air every Friday at 7 p.m. on Cable One Digital Channel 64. That's usually when we have our new episodes. And then we have, I think they do reruns every day. So really, we're out there.
One of the things that I have personally experienced on Russell Club, this just came out in the last day or so, the footage, is there was a very controversial match recently, and the Russell Club Championship was at stake. Myself, being the senior official, apparently, of Russell Club, explained to the rookie referee that he had erred in the match. He did not fully understand the rules of the match. His interpretation of the rules were not how it should have been. And now there's quite a bit of controversy as to the rightful claimant of the Russell Club Championship. What do you think about what's been going on with the title situation there in Russell Club and the controversy with the young rookie referee?
Well, I'm not entirely sure who hired the referees to do those kind of matches. I would assume it's Patrick, and it might have just been a slip-up on his part, perhaps, that he thought that a rookie referee could referee a title match, something as important as the heavyweight title. I mean, there's many reasons why the controversy happened. I mean, obviously, the champion is, you know, who it is now, and I feel like he deserves it, even though it at the same time, it could also be, again, Ben Garibay. So, you know, well, we'll just have to see what happens in the end.
I did not mean to cast any aspersions on the rookie referee. He does a very, very good job. Just made a simple mistake that young referees sometimes make, but he's doing a very good job there. And speaking of...
Yes, I absolutely agree.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the referees there in Idaho, there's been several referees, a lot of them a little bit inexperienced, as are a lot of the talents in Idaho, just because of the nature of the promotion and the wrestling scene up there. But you see a lot of referees and not only them, but the wrestlers themselves and some of the sports staff learning on the job, as you have as well. What's it like being in a promotion where everyone is fairly new to the sport within, say, the last 3 to 4 years?
I feel like it's a wonderful opportunity to kind of test the waters, in a sense. If professional wrestling is something that you have a passion for and you don't want to spend a whole lot of money trying it out, you know, definitely contact our promoter. And, you know, if we have a spot for you, we might have training opportunities, and, you know, really is learning on the go. But, you know, I feel like that's how it is with when you're starting out with any kind of career. You know, you don't just go into it. There are some people that have that natural knack for it, but for a lot of people, you know, it's a learning process. And we're very open-minded people here, and, you know, we're friendly, and we're more than happy to teach anyone who's willing.
Now, when I was last there at Russell Club, I actually held some seminars over a couple of days, and I feel like they went pretty well. I know in Idaho you don't get a lot of bigger name talents passing through necessarily, but there are some guys with experience that are willing to teach. What do you think about Russell Club's opportunities when seminars are presented by incoming talents?
I feel that it's important to understand that they're offering a service, and they want to enrich, you know, people that enrich the roster or people that are interested in learning more about what we do as the business. And so it's good to welcome them with open arms and hear what they have to say, because they are from out, you know, a lot of these people that do the seminars, they are from out of town. So, you know, it's really important to realize, you know, they're doing out of their own schedule. And, you know, it's good to learn. It's always important, and I always encourage people to learn more, you know, have an open mind. So I feel those seminars are very beneficial.
Like you mentioned, you've been doing this for about a year now. And I'm sure that over the course of that span, you've had a piece of advice or two or three passed your way to try to help you improve. What would you say has been some of the better advice that someone has given you that helped you improve as a ring announcer?
Don't write my cards at 1 a.m. So there was one time I botched one of the matches. I completely omitted one of the matches. And thank goodness our wrestlers are fabulous and they're willing to work on the fly and realize, you know, oh my gosh, May just messed up. She announced the wrong match. And turns out I just completely omitted it. And so I quickly jotted down the match that was supposed to happen. And, you know, we went on as business as usual. No one in the crowd even noticed the mishap. But that's probably the best advice someone's given me is just, you know, always make sure you run the card, that your announcing cards be with someone at least a day in advance, just so, you know, things run smoothly in the way they're supposed to.
And to be very fair to you, the card is always subject to change, so
absolutely.
Not always something that ring announcers are aware of.
Mm-hmm. There are times where it's day of and they say we're swapping the first match with the fourth match, and you better be wary of that. And, you know, thank goodness I don't botch that many times. I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, it's always important to realize, you know, yeah, exactly. The card is subject to change. And when it does, you know, be prepared.
One of the other things that a lot of the younger wrestlers may not be fully cognizant of, anyone that has spent any great amount of time in wrestling is very well aware that accidents can happen, injuries can happen. Some of those are a lot more scary to see than others, of course. Even if it ends up not being serious, sometimes it looks very scary. I'm sure you've seen a couple of scary moments on a show or two. What's been a couple of the more scary moments that happened on shows you were ring announcing?
Well, there was one recently when we were at a Gem State Gaming Convention. We had a wrestler. We're not sure what happened, but we had to stop the match a little sooner than usual. And, you know, that was quite a scare. And I wasn't quite sure how to announce the winner because, you know, the card states, you know, he was supposed to win, but it didn't happen that way, which, you know, as you know, that does happen once in a while. And, you know, you try and keep calm for the fans because we don't want them thinking like, oh my gosh, is this guy going to be okay? And it just turns out that, you know, he didn't properly hydrate. And, you know, as a wrestler, you're an athlete. You got to be aware of, you know, what type of environment you'll be wrestling in. And, you know, it's important to, you know, make sure you keep a calm outlook, or not outlook, but, keep calm while all this is going on. And that was probably the most concerning event that's occurred while I've been announcing. I mean, most of the time, you know, I unfortunately don't know exactly what happened since I'm not a wrestler. So if there is a mishap or anything, they're really good at hiding it, which I can say they should be proud of.
I was there for the incident you mentioned and confirmed it was pretty scary. But luckily it didn't end up being anything more serious than it was.
Absolutely.
Another thing that Wrestle Club has had several of since its inception is something that's popular amongst fans, of course, that being the Battle Royal. I know you've seen some Battle Royals in your time. What's your opinion of the Battle Royal as it relates to not necessarily just Wrestle Club, but just for professional wrestling in general in this day and age?
also just the concept of a battle royale.
Right.
It's interesting. I actually like announcing the rules for a battle royale because not everyone understands what it is. And it is kind of fun to see so many bodies in the ring at once and trying to keep track of what all is going on. So I approve of them. I find them quite enjoyable.
Now, the battle royal can be a tricky match for a ring announcer to follow, especially if they're announcing each elimination or if they're announcing the participants to the ring. Sometimes it's a little bit tricky when you have so many bodies. Do you find that that's a little bit harder of a situation than your standard singles or tag match?
Yes, I would say it is pretty difficult. I think the most difficult part would probably be to make sure you don't skip anyone. Or if you do, you have to try and figure out how to announce it while everything's going on before the next elimination occurs. But otherwise, it's as long as, you know, you keep track of what's going on.
Now, there was a match at the Jim Stone convention there in Wrestle Club when I was there last. I was backstage reading the official Idaho rule book, which I encourage every young official to read prior to going to the ring. And my arch nemesis, someone I've done battle with many times in the past, apparently found his way to Wrestle Club and was part of a tag team match. You ring announced him from the footage I have seen of this. Darth Carter reared his masked head in Wrestle Club. What did you think of Darth Carter?
I've never met him, and I didn't even know anything about him until that day. And so when I announced him, I thought, oh, I'm not sure how he managed to get in cahoots with the Punkettos, maybe because they're foreign and they don't know everyone. So, you know, it was interesting. And he himself is a pretty interesting wrestler too. You know, like it was a fun match to watch for sure, especially since they were going against Project Mayhem, I believe. So, you know, for some of the matches. So I think that was an interesting match.
It was fun for me to see the footage because they slaughtered that guy. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, no, they Project Mayhem is a force to be reckoned with. I mean, they don't mess around.
That is true. Well, we are at the part of the show where we have a game we like to play here. We call it Word Association. It's a simple game. I'll throw out the names of some people that you have come across, and the first word or two that comes to mind to describe them is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. First one, John Henry.
Foot.
Lost Soul Garibay.
Snake.
Mr. Hickman.
Powerhouse.
Referee Stewart.
Fair.
Matman.
See, I can't say all the referees are fair because that wouldn't be fair to referees. I'd have to say he's a good referee, so he's good.
Brad Zane.
Pompous.
Patrick Calloway.
Patrick Calloway, I'd have to say I had one or two words that came to mind about him. I'd have to say probably honorable and, see, I want to say more than one word and I can't. So I'll just have to go with honorable.
All right. Adriel Noctis.
Nemo.
Darth Carta.
Weird. He's a weird one.
Agreed. The final one, Adin Reyes.
A cosplayer wannabe.
All right. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has some questions, so I'm going to pass things to him for a bit.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, May.
Hello.
May, would you consider yourself a ring historian? And if so, do you base this accreditation on the fact that you have studied and incorporated the videos of WWE female ring announcer Lillian Garcia into your repertoire?
I actually was inspired by Lucha Underground's ring announcer Melissa Santos, and that's probably what some people would compare me to, actually. I don't, however, consider myself as a ring historian. I just say what's on the card and go from there and hope for the best.
Oh, all right. Now, what organization was Ms. Santos involved in?
You know, I'm not sure. I kind of researched her a little bit. I just know that she's the current ring announcer for Lucha Underground, which is another wrestling series that you could watch on Netflix that's similar to WWE, but it's its own thing.
Okay. All right. Well, how about Mike McGurk? Were you inspired by her and her determination to withstand the verbal onslaughts of Bobby Heenan?
That's a fantastic question. You know, I kind of wish I did more research on just WWE history in general. But unfortunately, I'm not familiar with that person.
Oh, okay. Well, your homework assignment is to look up videos of Mike McGurk and Bobby the Brain Heenan.
All right, I'll do that for sure.
They come very recommended by Sign Guy and myself. Yes, Mike McGurk.
Mike McGurk, okay. I'll definitely look him up.
Well, she.
Or she, sorry. Huh.
Yes, she was once married to B. Brian Blair, one of the most successful interviews in Turnbuckle Turmoil history, B. Brian Blair.
Good to know.
Okay, all right. Well, May, do you get recognized by any local school children, and do they ask for your autograph?
No, not usually. I'm not probably because when I'm done announcing, I usually get back down to my regular attire, and so they don't really recognize me, which I think is what kind of makes life a little more interesting, is the fact that I can kind of live my life as I normally am, and then I can you know, and when I do want to get into the ring, you know, I am May Lee, and just kind of go from there. So I think outside of the Wrestle Club events, I don't think people would know who I am.
Okay. All right. Well, May, do you use any special footwear in the ring, maybe like Air Jordans, to give you stability?
Nope, I usually just like to wear comfortable shoes. There was a time I wore some high heel wedges. It was an outdoor event and rolled my ankle into the grass walking into the ring. So ever since then, I've kind of stayed away from heels that were too high. So I usually stick to either flats or low heels, especially if we're going to be wrestling outside, which a lot of the events are. I mean, I'd love to one day maybe, you know, look like those ring announcers on TV and, you know, dress all pretty and stuff and wear nice shoes. But for now, I'll just stick with my flats.
Oh, okay. Now, do you yourself prefer indoor or outdoor events?
You know, I like both. I really do. I can't say I prefer one or the other, because when it comes to, I mean, we've, our wrestlers at the wrestle club were crazy, and they wrestle in all kinds of weather conditions. So during Idaho Potato Drop, I wore fur-lined boots, and then during, you know, Treasure Valley Comic Con last year, we were wrestling in 100-degree heat. So here I am in a tank top dress and, you know, open-toed shoes. So it just, it doesn't matter to me. And sometimes we're indoors too, and that's nice. It's nicer on my feet, I suppose, because I don't have to worry about grass making me roll my ankle.
Well, okay. All right. Well, May, you said that you had a job that made it difficult to contribute much time to Wrestle Club, so you switched to a cubicle job that runs Monday through Friday so you could contribute more weekend hours. Can you tell our Turnbuckle audience what the job you resigned from was?
I was a receptionist for an urgent care clinic, and I worked 12 hours Saturday and Sunday, and then 12 hours on Thursday, and then a little baby four-hour shift on Tuesday. And while the hours were great because then I could spend more time with my family, it made it so I didn't really have much of a social life, since a lot of people like to make plans on weekends. And so I had a better opportunity to, you know, make more money, and it just so happened to be a Monday through Friday job, and so I took that opportunity instead.
Yes, you said that your new job is working in a cubicle. Is it like the movie Office Space, where Peter Gibbons works for his Initech corporate boss, Lumberg?
You know what? For someone like myself, I should probably watch more movies, and I live under a rock. I mean, it's awful, because I just recently saw Star Wars Episode 4 about maybe 3 years ago. Like, that's how bad I am when it comes to movies. So I'd like to say, unfortunately, I've never seen that movie, so I don't know how to answer that question.
Oh, okay, never saw Office Space. Okay, well, now, are there any truths to the rumors that at your new job you stole a red swingline stapler and tried to give this to Garibay to use as a foreign object? Any truth to those rumors?
Oh, my goodness. I hope not. I have never seen, and if I did give Garibay a stapler, I really doubt he'd ever use it as a weapon, since he's, you know, he's our heavyweight champ, and I don't really see him using weapons very often. He's pretty much a grappling type of guy, so I'd like to say that rumor's probably going to get stomped out.
Oh, okay. I only asked that question because a red swingline stapler had a fairly good part in the movie Office Space, which I suggest you watch.
All right.
Yes.
So I have another homework assignment. Got it. Wasn't expecting homework when I got called into this interview. I hope you know that.
Yes, most of our interviewees aren't really how would you say, prepared for homework assignments, but I hope they do them. Yes. And they're legitimate too. They're all wrestling based. Okay. Yes.
Oh, I'm sure wrestling and Office Space are somehow related.
Well, there were no wrestlers in Office Space, but I wish there were. Yes.
Damn.
Okay. Well, May, I saw the YouTube video entitled Paquitos versus Project Mayhem Wrestle Club, and you ring announced a match between the tag team of Paquitos versus Project Mayhem. Is this the first time that you had seen this team captain, Paquito, who started out the match for his team? Team captain Paquito.
Oh, goodness, what event was that? Was that
Well, let's just say Team Captain Paquito bore a striking resemblance to Darth Carter. I'll just say that.
Ah, I see. Yeah, that again, that was just kind of out of the blue. We've never seen that wrestler on the roster before, and it was very interesting to announce just those few matches. So it was definitely interesting to see how that all played out.
Now, you announced to the crowd that Project Mayhem had the combined weight of 400 pounds. Maybe it was the editing of the video, but the combined weight of the Team Pasquitos was not announced. Can you tell our fans of the show if you did indeed announce Team Pasquitos' weight, and do you recall what it was? Because I myself think that Darth Carta or Team Pasquito, Captain, probably goes 170.75 pounds.
Combined? or just Darth Carta?
Singularly. Wait, what do you think the combined weight of Team Pasquito was?
I think the video probably did edit it out. I believe they were supposed to be announced as closer to about 400 pounds, if so. If not, it was around 380.
Oh, okay. So a little bit, so fairly close to Project Mayhem. Very nice. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, May, do you keep track of the daily Las Vegas betting lines on major sports events like Major League Baseball, the NFL preseason, and European soccer? And if you do, what were the bookies saying about the odds? What were they the odds were for the Project Mayhem versus Paquito's match?
You know, I'm not really a big sports fan when it comes to looking at odds and things like that. Probably because when I was younger, my father used to wager on horse races. And those numbers made absolutely no sense to me. So ever since then, I thought to myself, there's no point in gambling or even thinking about odds of winning and things like that, because it just didn't make sense to me. And it still doesn't make much sense to me even to now. But I would probably say, only because Project Mayhem is such a dirty tag team and they always find some way to rig it so that they always win. Like, no offense to the Punkettos, Chinetti, Project Mayhem had, in my opinion, would have a very high chance of winning.
Okay, well, May, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I myself took a look at what the odds were in Las Vegas, and Project Mayhem was slightly favored over Team Pasquitos. Yes.
That doesn't surprise me.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, May, has Project Mayhem themselves taken you aside and told you that their favorite band of the 70s was Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem on the Muppet Show?
No, I don't think I don't think they've ever told me that. That's news to me.
I ask you this question because I hear Brad Zane is known as the Puppet Master. Thus is linked to the Muppet Show.
Oh man, if he heard you that he was affiliated with Muppets, he'd probably try and wring your neck. That's very good. Entirely sure if that has to do with his moniker.
Well, can you see the simulation between Project Mayhem and Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem? The close symbiotic relation. Oh, okay.
I do, yes.
Well, May, tomorrow is the Boise Comic Arts Festival. It's a 2-day event. Will you yourself be going?
Yes, I'll be announcing on Saturday. It should be very exciting to see. It's going to be a brand new venue for us, so I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, all right. Well, May, does Wrestle Club currently have a mascot? All Major League Baseball, football, and basketball teams have one. And if a Wrestle Club does not have a mascot, will you start a fan contest with a cash prize to give Wrestle Club a mascot name?
WWE have a mascot?
I don't think they do.
So I was going to say, I was thinking, oh my gosh, how ridiculous would that be if we had like a bar of pink soap as a mascot? But I don't think we don't have a mascot. and I don't foresee us ever having one. But, I mean, I guess if WWE might have one, then maybe we'll humor the idea of having one, too.
Personally, I'd like to see Wrestle Club endorse the Warthog as a mascot, because warthogs are very tough and can stand up to a lot of punishment, like by lionesses. Yes. The Warthog.
Wrestle Club Warthog. I can see that. I can.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, Miss Lee, I hear Wrestle Club is in need of some ring repairs, which include the supporting wood boards. Do you know if your current boards are Western Red Cedar or Douglas Fir?
You know, one of our wrestlers does woodworking, and I'm sure he would know which type of wood it is. Unfortunately, I don't.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I know that the wood costs quite a bit, so I hope that you can have some fundraisers. Boards are pretty important. It has to be like a softwood, so there's a little give. Yes.
Oh, okay. Absolutely, yeah. We're not expecting, you know, cherry oak or anything quite that sturdy. Otherwise, it'll be quite unforgiving when wrestlers decide to bump in that ring.
Right. No hardwoods. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Miss Lee, on the next Military Appreciation Day, is Wrestle Club going to let an active duty member of the armed forces ring the bell for a match?
It's a fabulous idea. I'm sure if one of our uniformed servicemen want to ring the bell, I wouldn't be opposed. I'm not the one who handles the bell, but I'm sure if they wanted to, we wouldn't be able to say no. I mean, I guess the worst we would say is no, but I don't foresee it being a problem.
Wow, okay. All right, very good. All right. Well, Miss Lee, both Sangai and myself attended a wrestling event in Marysville, Washington, where we saw Sideshow the Clown win the main event Battle Royal. Have you yourself met this Northwest wrestler Sideshow the Clown from the wrong side of the tent?
No, I have not met him yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hopefully, maybe Sign Guy and myself could send you a blue collar wrestling link that shows Sideshow in action. We'll try. We'll put forth the effort. Okay. Now, Miss Lee, did you yourself participate in sports in high school?
In high school, I didn't. Apparently, I was very lame in high school, and I focused more on a medical career. So I was actually part of the Science Olympiad and Health Occupation Students of America. Sounds really boring. But in junior high, I did tennis.
Oh, tennis, okay. All right. Now, what current tennis players would you say that was an influence on you? Maybe one of the Williams sisters, or maybe you could go back in the 70s with Chris Everett Lloyd.
Some tennis players that I admired growing up were Agassi and Serena Williams, and definitely a Venus Williams, and Federline. But nowadays, I don't really keep up with tennis as much as I'd like to, so I'm not even sure who's hot right now in tennis at the moment.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, if you progressed above ring announcing, or maybe progressed is the wrong word, maybe I should say fall into the role as an actual wrestler and underwent the training, would your husband agree that you would be more babyface than heel?
I've entertained the idea of becoming a wrestler, and I've already thought about my character and, you know, who she'd be. So have you ever heard of the foxglove plant?
The foxglove plant?
Yes, the foxglove.
Yes, it sounds very familiar.
So it's a bell-shaped plant. It's purple and pink and varies in color, but it is highly poisonous. And so if I became a wrestler, I'd name myself Foxglove. And the foxglove is poisonous, and the reasoning is if you ingest it or come in contact with it, it could cause cardiac arrest. So her finisher would be a heart stop or something like that. So, you know, I thought to myself, it always seems to be more fun to be a heel than it would be a face. So if I did decide to become a wrestler, go with.
Isn't another name for this plant the belladonna?
No, it is actually belladonna is a different type of plant, but a different name for the foxglove. They used to use it for I forgot the name of the drug, but it's a similar. It's a heart medication, surprisingly enough. But you know, they had to stop using it because again, it kind of caused some really bad side effects. But yeah, no, belladonna is a different type, from my understanding.
Wow. I think I'd pay big money to see a foxglove versus belladonna bull rope match.
Oh, yes. There you go.
Yes, okay. Now, hey, how about the Venus flytrap? Would you consider being the Venus flytrap?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I don't think that would be a really good name because I'm trying to think what a Venus flytrap does, and I'm thinking, how would you do that as a wrestling move? But I guess it'd be more of like a leg lock, perhaps. But we'll
see. Well, I only ask this because I could see yourself in a match with Darth Carta, where Darth Carta would have a paper mache and coat hanger costume. The coat hanger supporting the paper mache, and Darth Carter could be dressed up like a fly, and you get him in a Venus flytrap.
You know, yeah. I like where you're going with this.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try to pull some strings with some Northwest Wrestling. How would you say, movers and shakers, and try to make this happen? Yes.
You know, if I decided I wanted to be a wrestler, I'll definitely hit you up on that. But for the time being, I'm very satisfied with the ring announcing, only because I like being able to have that little moment of fame and then quickly get out of the ring. Unfortunately, I'm not someone who enjoys being in pain. I understand that being a wrestler involves a lot of conditioning and, you know, learning how to take a hit. And I'm just, that's just not me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll put the Venus flytrap Darth Carter match on the back burner, the distant back burner. Okay.
All right.
Yes. All right. At this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, May Lee, one of the things about being a ring announcer is sometimes the wrestlers will try to intimidate the ring announcer into saying things that they want to have known, even though it's not necessarily the actual truth of the matter. Have you had many instances of the Wrestle Club roster trying to intimidate you into saying things that were less than honorable?
So my very first match that I announced, I had to announce King Marcus Anderson. And considering it was my first time, I left out the King part. And he got so mad at me that he made me re-announce him. And, you know, being a first-time announcer, I thought, oh, gosh, I don't want to piss him off, so I'd better, you know, do it the right way. And that's probably the only... probably the only time someone's ever really heckled me as a ring announcer. And then there are other times where they'll just take the mic right out of my hand and kind of say their own thing. So they don't make me say it. They're just like, oh, just give me the mic because you're not doing it right.
Now, speaking of King Marcus Anderson, I would never, you know, embarrass him by mentioning him by name. So I will say a nameless Wrestle Club roster member once left their underwear behind on a road trip to Seattle. Someone that is around Wrestle Club and has seen some incoming wrestlers, what would you say has been the biggest surprising thing that you've heard a wrestler having left behind on a trip to Idaho?
Let's see, with any of our guest wrestlers, like out of town people?
Exactly.
Coming to Idaho? You know, I can't call anybody saying, I mentioned my husband's one of the wrestlers, and usually he'll tell me if something embarrassing were to happen to one of our out-of-state people. But I don't believe anything like underwear has been left here in Idaho, thank goodness. I wish I had a funny story to share about that, but unfortunately I don't.
Well, that's actually a good thing that nothing embarrassing has been left around in various locker rooms across Idaho. And we talked about the scariest moments that you've witnessed earlier in the interview. On the flip side of that, sometimes there are things that are extremely funny that happen during the course of a wrestling show. What would you say has been some of the funnier moments that you've witnessed?
Well, there was one time someone had to ring the bell, and they got a little too enthusiastic, and they rung the bell, and the little handle broke right off, clear right off. And, you know, no one saw it, but I was just laughing my head off. I was trying to make sure I wasn't laughing too hard, or else the camera would have caught me laughing, because then, you know, it's like, oh, great, I broke kayfabe, and, you know, why am I laughing so hard? But that was probably just little mishaps here and there, and it just makes me laugh. And, you know, it's stuff that, you know, the audience doesn't get to see, but, you know, that's probably a good example of what happened. Thank goodness we fixed it. I think we found some super glue or something, but, yeah, the little head of the mallet just came right off when they rung that bell.
We have another game on the show that we play. I'm going to give you a shot at this. There's no right or wrong answer, so don't feel overly pressured for a right answer. We call this game Fact or Crap. And just based on your own knowledge and intuition of wrestling, you determine if an urban legend is an actual fact that happened or just a bunch of crap like someone made up in a locker room one day. Are you prepared for a round of fact or crap?
You know, hopefully I know who the heck you're talking about. That's my only concern. But otherwise,
all
I'm
right,
ready.
We'll give it a shot. Your urban legend is that prior to WrestleMania 1, several promoters were trying to hire Bruiser Brody to jump the guardrail and interfere during the main event to ruin WrestleMania and hurt Vince McMahon's national expansion. Based on your knowledge and your intuition, do you think that's fact or crap?
I would say that's a rumor. I don't think that's true.
All right, fair enough. Now, at Wrestle Club, like we mentioned, it's on broadcast television, and people all over the state of Idaho can watch it and see what's going on with the promotion. I know QT said you don't necessarily get fans that come up to you on the street and want to talk or get an autograph, but when you're at a show, do you notice a lot of fans coming up and wanting to talk about Wrestle Club with you as the ring announcer, since you're basically the face of that company?
Oh, absolutely. I also help run the merchandise booth as Mei Li. So, you know, I get tons of questions about, you know, when's your next show? Where can I get merchandise? You know, and we have an online store. If you go to idahowrestleclub.com, you can shop for things there. Cause sometimes we don't have all of our merchandise at each of our shows, but our full inventories on the website. And the website's great because if you scroll to the bottom, there's a donation link. So if you ever want to support the Wrestle Club, you can donate there. And then if there's any time that they want, an autograph with the wrestler, I can go drag them out of the locker room and, get autographs and pictures and things like that. So it is surprising that no one really asks advice from me necessarily, because they just think, oh, she's just the ring announcer. But I do get a lot of compliments for what I do, which is great. A big part of why I keep doing what I'm doing. But otherwise, yeah, I love supporting the Wrestle Club, and it really makes me happy that other people want to support us too.
I personally think you have an outstanding thing going there in Idaho, and I think you're tremendous. So I don't see why everyone in Idaho wouldn't be paying the compliments for your ring announcing.
I appreciate that. I do. Thank you.
One of the more traditional biggest days for professional wrestling was always Thanksgiving. That used to be a day when all of the major companies would run a show, because the theory was a lot of fans wouldn't have anything to do in the evening after the Thanksgiving meal was done, and so they would go out to wrestling as a form of entertainment. I know Wrestle Club run shows on certain holidays, and they do things a little bit differently than your standard promotion. Do you know if there's any plans for any type of Thanksgiving-based show coming up?
Not that I'm aware of. We do have the Idaho Potato Drop, which is pretty cool. That happens on New Year's Eve, and we usually wrestle during that, the Potato Drop, and how in New York they drop that ball, we drop a big old potato at the end of the night. So and during the day you have lots of events that you can go to at down the Capitol, and one of them happens to be pro wrestling with the Wrestle Club. So if anything, that's kind of probably the most traditional holiday-esque thing that we do.
Now, I understand that at certain times it gets a little bit frigid during the shows during New Year's Eve. I know that the show goes on and the Wrestle Club performers brave the cold weather. What's it like being on an outdoor show on New Year's Eve in Idaho, where temperatures can be a little bit on the frigid side?
By that point in time, it's already gotten that cold for several weeks that you just get used to it. We think 50 degrees, that's super warm in Idaho. That's great. And depending on the season, but yeah, when it's below zero and we're wrestling out there, it gets cold. But I think once the punches start flying, they just kind of forget about it. So, we always tell them, I always tell everybody, take your vitamin C and, keep yourself warm when you're not wrestling, just so when you are out there wrestling, you're not subjected to getting cold.
Well, we have come down to the last few minutes here with you, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything you'd like, social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite seafood restaurant, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sign Guy and QT. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys, despite the limited knowledge I have about professional wrestling as a business. Although I will have to say, probably as a woman in general, I probably know a little more than the average girl, but we do have our next show coming up this weekend down at Jump on Myrtle Street, downtown Boise, Idaho. Starts at noon, ends at 2. So it's one of our longer shows. It's going to be pretty exciting, and it's free. I mean, even the convention itself is free, which is phenomenal. Normally, the Boise Library comic convention is only one day long, and the fact that they've stretched it out to the whole weekend goes to show that us in Boise, we're just expanding when it comes to what types of media is out there. And, you know, I'm so grateful I get to be a part of that. And I've already chatted about our website, but yeah, you can always go to our website to look at our next event, check out blogs, read up on the roster, because there are some people where there was a question that I saw on the Wrestle Club Facebook page. You know, that's great and all, but I'm kind of lost on who's feuding with who, and you know, the website kind of goes over like details about that too. So that's always a good resource. And again, we have that donation link that does work, and you know, just click on that to contribute, because all of the repairs and maintenance, that's all done by our wrestlers. Every so often, we'll get donations from the community, but really, if you wanna see Wrestle Club continue on and keep doing what we do, you know, donations do help, because you know, unfortunately, that ring doesn't maintain itself. It'd be awesome if there was a ring that could, you know, renew itself every so often. You don't have to pay for it. Case. You can also follow us on Instagram, Idaho Wrestle Club, and we are also on Twitter at ID Wrestle Club. You know, we keep our pages pretty up to date for the most part. And then for people who aren't in Idaho that want to watch our show, we're on Roku now. And I think like the first four episodes are up right now. So if you have Roku, or you have the capability of adding it as an app on your device, I highly recommend watching us. So you can pretty much watch us anywhere now, which is pretty phenomenal for an independent league.
Absolutely. Well, May Lee, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today, and best of luck with the shows this week there in Idaho. I'm sure it's going to be a phenomenal success, and I look forward to my return to Wrestle Club when the fine people there bring me back, and I look forward to sharing a ring with you once again.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much again for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much. Oh, fans, mm-hmm. If you're anywhere near the state of Idaho, definitely tune into the television program. Definitely go to the live shows, support what they're doing there in Idaho. They are a great growing company. They do a very, very good job there. Still growing, still learning in the business, but they're doing very good things there. Support them, support what they do. I think you're going to be very pleased with the product. And like she said, if you have the Roku, no matter where you're at, you can get the Wrestle Club programs on Roku. Watch the shows. They do a great job with the television product. I think you're going to be very happy if you give them a shot. Well, QT, we have another guest on the show today, and I believe it is time to give him a call. Are you prepared for our second guest, QT?
Yes, I am, yes. And I will ask the existential questions, just like I did to May. Yes.
Well, Fez, help that poor man. All right, let's give this a shot. Let's see if we can get him.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Looks like it's dialing. I hope.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Let's try that one more time. That is not working, so while I figure this out, QT, if you would like to read from a book.
Ooh, let me see if, not exactly. I mean, I would, yes, but I inhaled a lot of the smoke that has been in the Northwest for the past 2 days, and you can probably tell that I sound kind of nasally, but I will give it a try. I will read from Hush Puppies. Well, actually, do you want to do me to read, or do you want to go over how dominant Sideshow was in that battle royal?
Why don't we read from Hush Puppies?
Oh, okay.
All right. I'll just randomly open the page here. Let me see. What do we got here? Page 32. Soon the red bones joined him. Their voices sweet as honey. The tall oaks planter gave them the quiet sign, but they paid no attention. Who's a tall oaks planter? Okay. Well, I don't know. Then the blue tick started to sing. Get the hounds some water, the three winds planter said. But the hounds didn't want water. They kept right on howling. Now the walkers began to bellow. Stop the banjos, Master Ben ordered. The music must hurt their ears. So the banjo playing stopped strumming. But the hounds did not stop howling. Juba nodded to Master Ben. The fish were ready. No use trying to serve up a fresh fish fry in this racket, she muttered. That's 2 days' work, all for nothing. Well, can't you just serve the fish despite what the hounds are doing? That's my question. Okay, just then, the quiet river, black and tans, the best beloved behaved hounds of all, started in. Their big, deep voices were louder than the rest. Boy, that's a pretty bad. Okay, let me see. Oh, now I lost the page. Okay, let me see. I'll just go to another page. All right. Okay. The children headed straight for Juba's kitchen. Tell us some stories, they begged. Make us a Johnny cake. Wait a second. I might have read this before. Boy, let me go to another page even still. Boy, I'm under a lot of pressures here. Okay, let me see. The red bones crooned. The blue ticks bawled. The walkers yelled. Well, at least all the dogs are reappearing. The black and tans boomed. The ladies looked sideways at one another. This is a quiet river plantation? The planters were disgusted. Quiet, they yelled all at once. But the howls came louder and faster, till the hounds were all howling together, like a great hound dog band, with Bugler leading. Master Ben looked at Juba. Do something. Boy, they sure pin a lot of stuff on Juba. Okay. All this time, Juba had been watching and thinking, too, of old hose and of cabbage leaves. The slaves make hoe cakes at lunchtime. Hoe cakes were made with cornmeal. Cujo rolled ash cakes and cabbage leaves. And ash cakes were made with cornmeal, too. Hoe cakes, ash cakes, cornbread, Johnny cakes, all those things were made with cornmeal and catfish. Those catfish we're frying right now were dipped in cornmeal. Oh, I don't know where this is going, but Juba scooped up a spoonful of her cornmeal batter and dropped it into the hot fat. It floated to the top, puffed and golden. She made a whole plateful. Then she walked over to Bugler. He started to howl. Juba popped a cornball into his mouth. Now, hush, puppy, she said softly. Bugler's mouth closed. He swallowed. His tail wagged. His mouth opened. Not a sound came out. In went another cornball. Boy, these have calming effects. Yes. Are you still there, Sun Guy?
I am still here.
Okay. I guess you're still dialing.
I'm still trying to get a hold of the guest.
Oh, very good. Okay, here we go. Let me see. Feed these to the hounds while I make more. So they tossed balls of cornmeal to all the hounds. And the hounds got as quiet as could be. Let me taste one of those things, said Master Ben. He popped a golden morsel into his mouth. Then he grinned. Hush puppies for all, he ordered. What? No tater sauce? Tater tot sauce? Tater. Yes. Okay. So the first fish fry was served up with plenty of hush puppies on the side. Everyone ate those hush puppies until they barely had room for Juba's pies. Three cheers for Juba, they cried. The best plantation cook in all of Carolina. Notice that they didn't give her cash money. The hounds were so full of hush puppies that they fell asleep by the fire. One of them caught fire, Well, no, I'm just kidding about that one. The Flaming Dog. The banjos strummed. The hound dog snored. The river rolled quietly by. Well, I don't think it could roll, I mean, noisily by. And the hush puppies have been served at fish fries ever since. And on the next page, they gave you a recipe for Juba's hush puppies. They do. Which is 2 cups of cornmeal, 1 teaspoon of soda, 1 teaspoon of salt, 6 tablespoons of chopped onion, 2 tablespoons of flour, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1 egg, 2 cups of buttermilk, and red pepper to taste. Wow. Okay. Mix all dry ingredients and add chopped onion, then milk and egg beaten together. Drop by small spoonfuls into boiling deep fat. They will float when done. Drain on brown paper. Serve with fish. Well, that sounds pretty good.
That doesn't sound bad.
Now, let's see if there is a page 48. Ooh, yes. Let me see now. Page 16. Some additional information. Low country, people living in hot, wet places lived in fear of catching the fever. Today, we call this disease malaria. Oh, I thought it was trench foot. Yes. Now, on MASH, they had a movie that the troops were required to watch called Trench Foot Through the Ages. Yes, I remember that. Okay. Now, let me see, Paige. Ash cakes were baked in the ashes on the hearth. At special times, the slaves might bake a chicken wrapped in cabbage leaves in the same way. On ashes? Well, okay. That's all right. Let's see. I think that's all there is to it. Yes.
Oh, wow. We finished hush puppies?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to try one more time here, see if this works.
Boy, overworked. Yes. She's got to make sweet potato pies. Then she had to make lemony buttermilk pies. And she even said, cooking for all these folks. And what thanks will I get? Wow. Hey. Well, you know, she had to, go fishing for catfish. She made the pies and then hush puppies.
Well, that's not bad. Now, QT, how many hush puppies do you think you could eat in one sitting?
Well, what's your standard hush puppy size?
Well, I'd say probably 3 ounces.
Mm-hmm. Well, 3 ounce. Let me see now. 3 ounce. Let me see. 16 ounces and 1 pound. So there's 5 1/4 hush puppy per pound. Let me see now. 3 ounces, 5. Okay, 5, 10, 15. I say I could eat 17 and a half.
That's not bad.
With quarter size.
Wow. That just upped the ante, I would think.
Slightly, yes. Now the question is, how many hush puppies could Big V eat? Big V.
I'm going to say Big V could probably eat 1 dozen.
1 dozen? That's less than I've estimated.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how big of a fan of hush puppies Big V is.
Oh, okay, enthusiasm does play a part. How about May Lee?
I'm going to guess 8.
Oh, 8. Oh, okay. Wow. How about Darth Carter?
Probably 4.
Now, are there any truth to the rumors that Darth Carter will be going to Wrestle Club for Thanksgiving card?
I don't know. I usually am unaware of his travelings.
Can you tell our listeners, Sign Guy, when the next possible Marysville card will be?
They did not have, as of yet, a return date, but they were working hard to secure the next date, so I'm sure the CPW officials will keep us all up to date.
Wouldn't that be great to see the Lasso Garibay in Marysville?
It would. That'd be very nice.
Yeah. I would travel long distances to see that, even from Tacoma.
Well, that's not bad. Now, can
you,
confirm or deny that you have, in fact, already traveled there from Tacoma?
Oh, yes. I know all the back roads. Yes. I think you yourself, some guy, saw Lasso Garibay in Marysville 7 to 8 years ago. Yes.
It's been a long while.
That has, yes. That hotel has since been torn down.
Yes, it has.
I forgot the name of the hotel.
Well, the Pacific Rim Ballroom was the part of the hotel where TCW used to run.
That's true, yes. Now, do you yourself know that, have you seen photographs of the Marysville wrestling event last weekend? Any photographs out there?
There are photographs out there on the various social media links. So if the listeners look up Combat Pro Wrestling, then they can find the social medias, and they'll definitely find the photos there.
Oh, is that on Facebook?
Facebook, the Twitters, the Instagrams, what have you.
Now, Sunday, have you yourself reached the coveted 700 mark on Twitter followers?
Not yet. I'm working on it.
Has your number stalled at 685?
What was that?
Has your number stalled at 685 Twitter followers?
I was at 688.
688, wow. Okay. Did the forest fires have an effect on your sign-up?
I think so.
Well, okay.
That would be a guess.
Now, was this event in Marysville called A New Dawn? Was that the theme, A New Dawn?
That was the name of the show, yes.
Oh, okay. I am in mourning that Paul Moonshine wasn't there. I was pretty crushed, yes.
Well, I believe Paul Moonshine not still recovered from his tragic injury suffered at the hands of the Freak Show a number of weeks ago.
I see. Well, you know, that Marysville Skate Center was a good venue for everyone to wrestle at.
It definitely was.
Even Sonny O'Mara was there.
Sonny O'Mara became a champion, winning the grappling title for Combat Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. And even J.D. Mason was there.
Yes, he was. He wrestled in multiple matches, having competed in the Battle Royal.
And even a wrestler that I don't think I've ever seen before, Jack the Snack.
Jack the Snack has been on most of the Combat Pro Wrestling shows, and he's a staple there at 3-2-1 Battle.
Well,
gets a little distracted if people bring out cupcakes, though.
Oh, yes, that's true. Yes. That may have cost him the championship in the Battle Royal.
It may have, in fact, done that. Now, he basically eliminated himself to chase after a cupcake.
yes.
Now, QT, have you ever jumped over the top rope of a Battle Royal
in order to chase after some sort of tasty pastry treat.
Usually I'm trying to move past security and jump into the ring to steal a cupcake.
Yes.
How successful are you with that?
You weren't there at the time.
Yes.
So it was very fairly successful?
No, it was not. It was not.
Now, did you try to swipe any shoes while you were going after the cupcake?
They have squeezed shoes and have touched the shoelaces of a couple wrestling promoters. Yes, as they have fallen by my feet, as I have sat ringside.
All right, fair enough.
Yes.
Now, QT, as we mentioned, Paul Moonshine still recovering from injury. His son has a huge match this week with, I believe, Just Exciting. And also, his nephew, Jameson, has a big title match against Bad Blood in an Appalachian Mountain street fight. Big week for the Moonshiner family. Do you think maybe Paul could return?
Yeah. First off, I'd like to ask, what exactly entitles an Appalachian street fight?
I'm pretty sure it's like a regular street fight where anything goes and pinfalls and submissions count anyway.
Are you saying that this could be taken outside the Blue Collar Wrestling Event Center and into the streets of Portland?
It could spill out of the House of Action there for sure.
Well, I'm going to go with my gut feeling and predict Cousin Jameson will prevail over Bad Blood in an Appalachian street fight.
Well, that's a big prediction. Do you think that Bad Blood will super kick you the next time he sees you based on these comments?
No, because I believe that Bad Blood could win in a Compton, California street fight. Yes, Compton, California. Very fair, yes. And I'll explain this to Bad Blood when I next see him. Yes, I'll explain the differences between an Appalachian street fight and a Compton street fight. And boy, he'll look forward to that.
I'm sure he will. Now, is there any update on your bid to get a mascot carved out of wood for Blue Collar Wrestling?
Well, the schools are starting up in the Portland area, so I will be contacting many woodshop teachers in the area, yes. And I'll also be working closely with Tex Thompson also. He's like my liaison to these woodshop teachers.
Now, would any of these woodshop teachers be in, say, the Salem, Oregon area?
Yes.
Okay.
And also schools near the Washington-Oregon border also.
Very interesting.
But none of them are
QT. All right. Now, next week, coming back to the Pacific Northwest QT, will be Casey Carlisle, whom I love. She will be returning to WCWC next week. Are you excited for the return to the Pacific Northwest of Casey Carlisle?
Many questions pop into my mind, Sign Guy. First of all, will she be flying into Portland or Seattle?
Well, I am unaware of her specific travel itinerary, but I would presume Portland.
Oh, okay. How many cups of coffee will she have on the airplane?
I'm going to guess four.
Is there We'll have to get a contest going. Yes.
The last one was very successful.
Now, will she? Who in the area? Are there any leads? Any leads on the information of who she will be wrestling against, or will she be in tag team competition?
I do not know the specific matches they have for her at WCWC, but I believe she will be at the television tapings both on Saturday and Sunday, so I would presume she will be involved in multiple matches.
Wow, well, at least she will have avoided the forest fire smoke.
Hopefully.
Unless another big one breaks out.
So I'm sure Casey Carlisle would not be happy if she left here smelling of smoke.
Yeah. Now, to your knowledge, Sign Guy, has Casey Carlisle heard of my efforts to bring a mascot to Blue Collar Wrestling, which I hope is the Beaver?
I presume she has.
Yeah, why not? Any inside comments or leads or suggestions that she may have let slip?
None to my knowledge.
I see. Will the next Sign of the Times, I believe it's number 341, reflect on my efforts to bring a mascot to Blue Collar Wrestling and my new venture to bring a mascot to Marysville Wrestling, wherever it may be held?
Possibly. I believe that would be okay. Combat Pro Wrestling.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, I hope multiple venture into Marysville, whoever it may be.
Well, I can confirm the existence of a brand new company. They just announced this week that they are now in business. Their first show will be in October, and the name of the company is Wrestling with a Cause.
Wrestling with a Cause? Where will this be held at?
I think I'm Wrestling Without a Cause. Without a Cause.
Oh. By any chance, will this be held in Woodland, Washington?
No, it will be held in Everett.
Oh, ever. Wrestling Without a Cause. What kind of mascot do you think Wrestling Without a Cause would have?
I don't know if it has one.
Well, I'm pretty sure it doesn't. any
chance we could have a Douglas fir cut out of a James Dean on a motorcycle?
I'm going to guess not, but you never know.
Okay, very good. Well, I certainly am looking forward to the next Sign of the Times. I think those are widely watched, and this could really ramp up my efforts, and to a lesser extent, Tex Thompson's effort to bring a mascot to the Northwest.
Possibly.
Be
now, QT, I just sent out episode 340, just a little while ago. I was late getting it uploaded, but it is there now. Have you had a chance to watch episode 340?
Oh, it's not 341?
340.
Okay, let me check this out, what the title is. I mean, I did see it, but let me see now. Okay, is it Avatar Bloody Angel? No, that's Crazy Joe Pardini. What's he doing? It's probably just stalking me and stuff. Okay.
Possibly. Is he in your kitchen?
Well, not in my kitchen. He's mad that I'm doing so well predicting baseball picks. I have a better record than he does. Yes.
I see.
Yeah. Let me see now. Oh, here we go. No, that's not it. Let me see now. Popcorn at movie night. Oh, yes, in a movie. Kurt Frey. Okay, let me see. Kurt Frey's us. Yeah. Oh, I would like to take. Oh, yes, I would like to take this opportunity to invite Devin Bellinger's
and Park Place, Marca in Seattle, corporate sponsorship of our show. Yes, I forgot about that. There's a gold, silver, and bronze package.
I was unaware of this development.
Well, like for the gold package, this includes a special appearance on a podcast show that I belong to on Monday night, the Mike Allen Show. Plus, if people elect the gold package, Turnbuckle Turmoil sponsorship, they might get an advanced question that we are going to ask to our weekly guests. For instance, if anyone had signed up for the gold package for our interview that we just had, they might have heard that I was going to ask her about the movie Office Space and if there was a red swingline stapler that she stole from her Monday through Friday job to give to the Lasso Garibay. Think about that, an advanced question that they were privileged of.
Wouldn't that kind of spoil things for them?
Well, it's just one among many, many questions, yes.
All right. Now, did you find the sign of the times, QT?
I have not. I am at a loss for words. Should I go to my wrestling page? That would probably help immensely. Yes, I will do
it
that.
It probably really would.
Yeah, that's where you usually post them. Okay, let me see now. Yes, I know I saw something. Let me see. Okay, here we go. Now, I should go to I have several pages. Let me go to the one that says independent wrestling below it. Okay, here we go. You know that gold membership also includes a dark card of QT Vokes singing, like a singing event.
They would sing to the person live?
Yes, as requested.
What if they lived in, like, Romania?
Ow! The only chance that we would sing in Romania is near Dracula's castle in the Carpathian Mountains, Carpathia.
Yeah, but what if they live on the other side of Romania and they do the gold package?
Oh, well, they'd have to travel over those mountains. Yes.
Wow.
Travel over the Carpathian Mountains to hear this part, that hear part of the package that they are afforded through our gold membership. Oh, here it is. Sign of the Times, episode 340, the Tubbs edition.
Indeed, and making his very first appearance ever on the Sign of the Times, Al Tubbs.
Well, I'm going to have to click on this. Let me check this out real quick. Here we go.
All right, well, it's a longer episode.
For the first time in history, I'm going to check out the first 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
Oh, okay. Should I read a book while you're doing such? Is that a confirmed?
Boy, you're talking about crop circles here. Yes.
I don't believe they were crop circles. I believe they were the three count circles.
Oh, okay. Boy, that Mr. Tubbs is wearing a very nice shirt. He seems on edge, though.
He was a little edgy.
Yes. Now, you yourself had a Sasquatch shirt on.
Yes, I did.
Oh, a little snappy. Are we going to get on with this? Boy, it's right down to business. Pamphlet? I don't think so. I don't think Al Tubbs really cares that Dave Turner's podcast failed. He just, well, let's get on with this. I don't care. Seems to be his.
Wow.
Media.
make money. Yeah. Oh, Al Tubbs does make money by being smart. I agree with that. What? Al Tubbs doesn't pay for his own food. What the? He's really on edge.
Now, if you notice a few cans of soup missing from your cupboard, you might suspect Al Tubbs had been rummaging through it.
I've got to put up that surveillance camera, yes. Boy, that's what I got to do. Al Tubbs on the loose. I wonder if Al is himself going to enroll in the school of hot fighting nurses.
Possibly.
After seeing those photos.
Battery might recruit there.
Yes. Ooh, Al Tubbs is a huge fan of Nurse Ratched, that's for sure. She's going to be on Al's mind. Yes.
QT, how far into the video are you at this point?
It is the 4:40 mark.
But you said 2:50.
I was so ingrained in these videos. Once you get a little, you can't stop. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Well, we may have to schedule Conrad for another time.
I believe so. Looks like there were some issues getting him here. But I will remind the fans that next week, Conrad Thompson is bringing StarCast to the All In weekend. Hundreds of some of your favorite wrestling podcast personalities will be there, including members of the Four Horsemen, Kevin Sullivan, Bruce Pritchard, Tony Schiavone, Eric Bischoff, all the big names going to be there the night before All In, so it should be huge. So definitely get out there, support that, and we will wrap things up here. If you're near Tacoma, Washington, I'll be at NGW tomorrow night for Coach Mike Jones. And also, if you're near Idaho, go check out our guest today, May Lee, and the rest of the Wrestle Club roster as they're wrestling in Boise tomorrow. Always a great time there at Wrestle Club. You should go out there and support them. And we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We conclude Superfan Month with Chris Sader, one of the biggest Hulk Hogan fans known to existence, QT.
Wow. Chris Sader, yes.
And then 1 week from today, we're going to be back. And QT, I believe you're going to be excited for this one all week. We have some of the 1980s Pro Wrestling Illustrated writers, Craig Peters and Gary Morgenstein, will be joining us. They were two of the most prolific PWI writers of the 80s and very early 90s. So it's going to be very exciting to have them on next week.
That's Craig Peterson?
Craig Peters and Gary Morgenstein.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I've already have some 80s trivia questions to ask them.
That has helped those poor people. Well, fans, we'll be back with you on Sunday afternoon. Join us then.
Tonight, turn up as much as we can. Let go and hit the floor and dance.